Welcome, welcome. Listen, we are back with another episode of the Government Coins podcast. And as y'all know, every week it gets better and better. So this week is also going to be absolutely amazing. I'm so excited to tap into this. We're going to figure out how to do business with the city of Houston. And today we are joined with Dr. Portia Jackson. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. PJ. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So hello everybody, and it's a pleasure to be here on with you and share this information. So I'm Dr. Portia Jackson. I'm the Business Development Manager for the City of Houston's Office of Business Opportunity. So our office is a small office compared to some of the other departments at the city, but we are charged with making sure that our small businesses, especially those owned by historically marginalized groups, have the same opportunities as the others. And so we cover four different areas: business development, certifications, contract compliance, and also department services in our OBO Solutions Center. And so my piece in it is in the business development part. So I'm making sure that businesses know about our services and also helping them to navigate doing business with the city, because it can be kind of confusing, but I'm here to help people get through it.
That is definitely a testament within itself. Like, it can be very confusing navigating different government contracting processes. And I as we're going through, I just went ahead and dropped the link to Office of Business Opportunity on the YouTube chat. So if you have any questions, go ahead and click on the link. You know how we do. We got to do some work around here. But I'm so excited about this one. And within the a little bit before we get to that stuff, how did you get into this space? Was this a something that you kind of stepped into, or was that area that you always, know you wanted to go into? What was that process like?
It was kind of weird because previously I worked in business, but at a university, at a business school. So it was really with the students and in operations of running that school. And then I took some time, and the place I was before, I was working with volunteers and developing volunteers. And it was more of being in the office like all the time, except when I had to go out for special events, which sometimes it was at camp is what they called it, which literally was a camp, and that's not me. So I was like, I need to get back to business. And I kept feeling this tug. I need to get back to business. And so I saw the opportunity in the position and interviewed for it. And when they described what it was going to be like, I was like, yeah, this is me. This is me. And so I've been here about a little bit over 4.5 years. I love what I do.
That's great. That's definitely, one of those spaces we always joke about. People typically fall into this, into procurement, into business opportunity, or diversity and inclusion. Like, people typically like fall into those spaces. But I'm happy you said that, because overall, just understanding like your role and the key part that you play with small businesses navigating these processes, I want to kind of go ahead and tap into some of the programs that you offer. And you mentioned that it was broken up into different categories. Can you share with us a little bit more about how the process works and, all that stuff?
Okay, so from the business development side, we have anywhere between 6 to 10 signature programs. So when I say signature, that means annual programs that we do on a regular basis. And those range from folks who just have a business idea with our annual Liftoff Houston Business Plan competition, all the way to those who've been in business, got it down. But sometimes when you're in stuff quite some time, you get stuck. You're like, how do I get to the next level? And we have programs that, like, I call it the capstone programs for those folks who've been in business and want to take it to the next level and get into the multi-million dollar annual revenue range. So that's where our business program lies, in those signature programs. But we also have other things that we'll do when we notice business trends or gaps in our programming. We may do workshops, collaborate with our partners, just to make sure that we're providing a well-rounded educational experience for our business owners.
And as a part of the, and I went to the business development program page to kind of throw some of that information on there as well. And there are a number of different trainings on this website. As far as the small business programs, does a business have to be located in the city of Houston? And then also for some of these other programs, how can you tap into these from a digital space? Is it that available as well?
So some of the programs are virtual, and then some are hybrid, and then some are just in person. Before everything was in person, before the pandemic, but then after that, things were virtual, and now so we're getting back into that hybrid space. And so they're typically look for folks who are local. And when I say local, we're not just talking about the city of Houston. We service 10 counties. So if you're in that 10 county range, yes. Anything that we have that's completely virtual, we've had folks from California, other different states and cities outside of this area to attend those virtual programs. We welcome everybody. We just really want for people to get the information and be able to process it. So we just want to see businesses succeed. So our programs are open, but if we do have something that's local, meaning that it's hybrid and you have to be here, I mean, if you're trying to travel, you're more than welcome to, but typically those are going to be for our local area folks.
I love it. And then for your small business programs, I mean, your certification programs, can you tell us a little bit more about those programs and also the benefits of it and how it can tap into it?
Sure. So, certification. We certify in about six different areas. So we have minority business enterprise, and so I'm just going to say BE, that means business enterprise, W, women, BE, small, BE, disadvantaged, BE, as well as persons with disabilities, BE, and we also have the airport concessions, BE. And included with that, we can submit your information to get the HUB certification. A hub is historically underutilized businesses, and that certification is governed by the state of Texas. So think about doing business with state institutions, which would include your local colleges and universities, as well as the hospital, the medical center. Those will be state institutions that you would utilize the hub. And so with the certification, it's important to know when people say, I'm getting certified, it's not enough to say, I'm a woman, you see that I'm a woman. I don't need a certification. What we're doing is you have to be certified as a woman business enterprise, meaning we have to show and you have to prove to us that not only is this business owned by a woman, but it's majorly operated by the woman. So that's where the certifications, why we ask for those documents, because you know how it is. You have good things, and then sometimes you have the small percentage that will take advantage of it. So we have to put in all these different rules and to make sure. So that's what the certification, we do the certification, and the certification gives you the opportunity to work on the larger contracts and really to get your foot in the door. Shirley Chisholm is one of my favorites, and she talks about having a seat at the table and bringing that folding chair. That's the certification, is that folding chair that she's talking about, to have that seat at the table. So for folks who don't know, historically you would have these large contracts. And so if you're a small business or you're just getting into business, especially if you come from a marginalized background, sometimes you don't have the resources that other folks may have had their entire life. And so that's where our office comes in with the resources. And so the certification certifies you as being minority woman on all that I mentioned. And it's saying, here's a contract. We're just not going to make it so large. Maybe you're a smaller business and you can't handle part all the contract, but you can handle a portion of it. So that certification allows for you to come in as a subcontractor and work on a part of that. And so our goal is to make sure that with that certification, it's helping you to grow your business, build capacity, so that you won't need the certification. You'll be able to take on the large contracts on your own. So that's really how the certification works. It works like that with the city of Houston, other government agencies, and also in the private sector. They're looking to work with certified firms. And so just always make sure that when you are looking at firms and looking for opportunities and looking for contracts, know what certifications they are looking for to make sure that you have them and you're able to take advantage of those opportunities.
And I love that you mentioned that because I wanted to ask, because everyone typically has like their own certification these days. Does the city of Houston have some type of reciprocity in place for, whether it's SBA certifications or certifications with different, areas? Is something like that in place as well?
So, for the city of Houston, we just love our certifications so much that we only accept the certifications that we issue out. But there are other government agencies and in the private sector that accept our certification. So, if you get
Nice.
certified by us, whether you want to do business with us or someone else, you have that freedom to do so. And our certifications are at no charge. So, that's always an added plus.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you threw that in there. Some of these certifications you definitely have to pay for. And
Yes.
one thing that I wanted to kind of, throw in there as well, once you do the certification once, it depends on the other agency. I guess if we do it right now, we'll still have all of those documents to go after the next one. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you do the city of Houston, you're gonna have all the documents for whoever else is coming after.
the documents you need. That's exactly it. So,
Yes.
is it a virtual or digital application, or do you have to, how is that the application process?
No, it's all online. You don't have to mail anything to us. Just go directly to the link online. And I think you had asked this question. I did not answer. I'm going to back up to it. So, with the City of Houston certification, it's a local certification in those 10 counties that we serve. However, if you can prove that you have significant presence in Houston, we can certify you if you're not in one of those 10 counties.
Now that's a good question. Is there a time frame in terms of how long that presence has to be in? Like, let's say I'm a foreign entity. Do I have to be in the city of Houston for, 3 years, 2 years in order to get certified? Or how would that look?
So it's going to depend on your company, but you have to have a current local presence, and it's up to you to establish to show that presence. So some people will be headquartered in Louisiana, and they might have a location in Houston and have staff in Houston. So that's a way to establish a local presence that you have people operating currently out of Houston for your particular business.
Nice. Okay, now that's different. I will definitely say I haven't seen many of them like that. And so let's tap into like some of the small business opportunities. So once you are certified, are there different like set asides or small business events that are focused on matchmaking? What happens after certification?
So, what happens after certification is really getting out there to let folks know who you are and what you're doing. We, as the City of Houston, don't have any set asides, but we do have those goals that are placed on the contracts. And so I tell people, once you're certified, even before you're certified, you should be out there networking. You should know who are the key players. And one thing that's good about doing business with the government is we have to put a lot of stuff online. We can't just hold it, and you have to just know somebody to find out that information. A lot of this information is online. You can see the history of what we purchased. So you can kind of get some background and say, this contract might be coming up the next year. Who had it previously? Let me find out where that company is. What events do they go to network and begin to get in that way. And as you know, people like doing business with people that they know. And I always tell people it's really not who you know, but it's who knows you. So you got to get out there and you got to network and let people know. Take that capability statement with you. And also, when you are meeting different government officials or government people, and you know that there's a contract that's coming up or possibly coming up, ask that person to make an introduction. Utilize us because we're here to be utilized, but also make sure that you got your information, correct. And one thing I always tell people, when you're going up to somebody and you're meeting them, if you can tell them something about themselves to show that you're actually serious about your work, 9 times out of 10, they're going to help you, right? So if you're coming up and say, hey, I know that there's a contract coming out. This person had it before. Can you give me some more insight? Instead of them saying, I don't know what you're talking about because you say, well, what contract is coming up? But if you already know that, they're like, this person's really serious. We want to help. We're public servants. We want to help. So when you come with that information and all we have to do is give you the answer and not provide a whole background of something, you're going to get a whole lot farther. So always make sure you do that research. And if you've seen somebody speak at something, say, I saw you speak at such and such, I wanted to connect with you. And then just have that conversation, and people are more open and apt to help you in that process.
I love that having that point of reference. I saw you here. I would love to connect with you. Share more about what it is that we do. Like, that's such a great pattern to show. Like you were saying, I'm doing the work. So I love that. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. The other part is small business events. How often do you have different networking events where small businesses can come in and possibly meet, the buyers or meet the department that they're looking to do business with?
Sure. So outside of our business, our signature programs, we do an annual event called Meet the Buyer. It happens every December, and that's where we bring out everything, everybody. So we're having all of the buyers of the major buying departments with the city. They're there. We're having prime contractors who are looking for certified subcontractors. They're there. We have other government agencies and their buyers there. We have people who have resources, little to no cost resources for our businesses. And then we also bring in guest speakers talking about various opportunities that's available. And so that is our biggest event that we have for our small businesses. And that it purposely is designed to connect businesses with buyers and connect them with opportunities, and also, give them information and give them the resources so that they can not only take advantage of the opportunities but succeed in those opportunities. So that's what we have on an annual basis, that large event. At times throughout the year, we may, if we see something is missing in the programming that we're providing, then we may have an event that say, hey, come out, we want to tell you about this. We also do special events. For instance, we worked with the Prison Entrepreneurship Program, and they called us and they wanted to introduce their graduates into doing business with the city. And from that, we did do an event where they were able to meet with some of the buyers of the department to introduce them because they have great businesses. We wanted to make sure that that opportunity was afforded to them as well. So we do it throughout the year, but you can always count on that Meet the Buyer that's going to bring in the heavy hitters.
I love that. I just Googled the Prison Entrepreneurship Program. I think that's absolutely amazing. That connection and that partnership with them. My next question would be for the Meet the Buyers event, or just anything that's going on with the city of Houston. Is there any way to, like, do you have a newsletter to keep up with this stuff? I know I just found the link to all of the events on the calendar, so I dropped that one in the chat. But is there a newsletter? How do I keep up with this information that's going on?
Yes, we have, we call it our weekly e-blast. It comes out every Monday at 8 a.m. sharp. And it's going to have two separate emails. One email is going to be specifically targeted to the procurement opportunities with us and our partners, so other counties, other government agencies. And the other one that's going to come is our networking e-blast. So that's going to have a list of all the different events that are happening with us or with our partners, as well as any information that can be helpful. So you will see in our current e-blast, we have information about free legal services. We also have free advising and mentorship, and you will find that in that newsletter. So one about procurement and then one about those networking and education events.
Where can I sign up for this e-blast? I'm looking for the link to the event. Is where can I sign up for that
It
one?
should be, it's on our website, probably under our Solution Center tab, and you'll be able to sign up there. If you don't see it, you can always send an email to OBOS, like in Sam, C, like in Charles, at HoustonTX.gov. And then you want to include your first and last name, the email address you want the e-blast to come to, and your company name if you have it.
Got it. Okay. I didn't get a chance to put that one in there. You said OBO?
OBO, S as in Sam, C as in Charles, at HoustonTX.gov.
Perfect. So I just dropped that in the chat. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for that. So definitely reach out. Spend some time going on a website. Like this website is full of information and resources. I think that's probably why I probably missed it because it's so much and I'm trying to stay on task, right? So definitely play around with this website. They have so much information on here from planning a business, starting and growing. So definitely check that one out and join that newsletter. Even if you are not in the city of Houston at this very moment, you don't know what's gonna happen 1, 2, 3 years down the line.
You're
Okay.
so right.
So, and also it's like you said, it's not about what you know, it's about who knows you. And you never know based on the work that you're doing. There could be some opportunities that pop up, somebody reach out, you just be ready. Okay. So join the newsletter and keep up with what's going on. We have some, and if you have some questions, make sure you go ahead and drop them in the chat as well. I've been talking so much, I didn't get a chance to say that. Someone said that they're not in Texas, but they would love to see if they can work with the city of Houston. And you know, you mentioned a little bit more about that. I just think it's one of the thumbs up. But you mentioned a little bit about that from businesses who are outside of the city of Houston. How can they engage and take on some of this or take advantage of these opportunities?
Absolutely. So doing business with the city of Houston, there's not a requirement that you have to be here. There's people who do business. Honestly, there's companies who are not even located in the United States that do business with us. So we definitely encourage you to check out our website. So our website to look at the bids is in this case, they just changed it. It was purchasing.houstontx.gov, but now it's HoustonTX.gov/biz, BIZ with Hugh, HOU. And there you'll see the bid opportunities and you'll have to register to be a vendor. That's very key because anybody, whether you are providing a t-shirt to us or a multi-million-dollar contract, you have to register to be a vendor. That is your very first step. You don't have to be certified, of course, to do business with us. So, folks who are not in the Houston area, please check out that website, register to be a vendor, search for those bids, and you can do business with the city. Also, too, for those who are in the area and who are certified, don't I mean, always keep a broad aspect because there are businesses who may be from California doing business with the city. If that contract that they has a goal on it, guess what? They're looking for local people to be on that contract. So there's always opportunities. So just always never limit to yourself to where your geographical area is. There's always opportunities and always availability for people to take advantage of that.
Love that one. I'm happy we started talking about procurement because that was where we're going to like really tap into next. And I dropped the link. So Biz with Hugh, I dropped that in the chat as well. Make sure you go ahead and check that one out and register as a supplier. Start getting those updates for those opportunities. But wanted to talk a little bit about money since we are here. We are in business to make money.
Yes,
Right.
the coins, right?
Our first question is, what is the budget? For the city of Houston, and the second part of that will be how many departments are within the city?
Yeah, so the city, I believe, for this fiscal year, we have about a $5 billion budget. And also on that website, HoustonTX.gov/bizwithhugh, you'll be able to see the procurement plan. And so right now, I believe they probably have it for this particular quarter that's up, which is scheduled for about, I think, $870 million spend. And last year, I would say our spend, I believe, in procurement was $2.5 billion. And so utilize that website to see that spend. And there was what was that second part of the question you asked me?
How many departments make up
Ah,
the city?
yes. We have about 22 departments here at the city of Houston, but just keep in mind that not all the 22 are major buying departments.
Of those, how many of them would you say would be like major de buying departments, you would say?
I would say major buying departments would probably be four, and it would be our airport system. So we have three airports that's underneath that, Bush, Hobby, and Ellington Field, and that's where our spaceport is, which is bringing a lot of opportunities for folks, as well as Bush with the new terminals that we have. We also have our general services department. That is the department that manages all the City of Houston facilities. So think about building maintenance, grounds. That's going to be a major buying department. Houston Public Works, which is, I think, the third largest public works department in the nation. And so that's the water, streets, buildings as well. And that's probably one of, between them and the airport, it's pretty large as far as their buying is concerned. And then you have our strategic procurement division, so SPD. SPD is the buying department for the City of Houston. So all the other small departments, for instance, if they say one department says I need paper, so instead of just putting out a bid for just the paper they need, SPD will get all the paper for all the different departments that are needing it and issue out that bid. So they are a buying division for the City of Houston for those smaller departments outside of those that I named to make sure that we have the City of Houston has all the things that they need to operate.
Here is so someone actually mentioned, they said the last Meet the Buyers event in Houston was lit. It was very well organized.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
I love
Come on now. They in here letting you know already. Thank you so much for that, Jersey Carter 76. We appreciate that. And someone also asked, are there any big projects coming up or happening this year? Okay, so you mentioned the procurement plan. And I dropped the link for that as well. Okay,
Yes.
perfect. So thank you for that list of those cities and those major buyers and some of the areas that they focus on. Another piece of that question is the different procurement thresholds. So although everyone's not a major buyer, can we talk a little bit about those procurement thresholds and how we can get in with those, micro purchases?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. So the easiest way is through purchases that are going to require a P card, which stands for procurement card, aka credit card. And so those, if your business is set up for that, right? So construction, of course, wouldn't consist of someone using their P card to purchase the construction services, but it's going to be anything up to $3,000. So for instance, if you are you do shirts, embroidery or something like that, and the department needs to order shirts for new employees that's coming, that's something they can purchase using their credit card. We do ask for them to get quotes for it and to purchase that, but that's an easy process, right? Easy transaction. They don't have to put it up and let everybody know they need shirts for their new employees. They can just call you up and do that. We do tell people and encourage the rest of the departments to use our certified firm directory so that our certified firms are getting those opportunities as well. And then after that, you graduate into our informal procurement. So that's anything up to $50,000. So up to $50,000 is our informal procurement. The city has gotten really good at breaking up some of those contracts, and so that there's a lot of informal procurement opportunities for our smaller businesses who just want to get their feet wet and doing business with the government and build from there. And then after that, you get into our formal procurement, which is going to be anything over $50,000. And then with that, you have RFP. So that's any type of contract or solicitation that is for firms who need a professional license to operate. So when we say professional license, that means anybody like an attorney, you have to have a license to operate as an attorney. An accountant, if we need accounting services, you have to be a CPA. That's a license that you have to have. So professional architecture, engineering, those type of professions will qualify for the RFPs. But then, which is also a form of a formal bid, but those are going to be over 50,000.
Okay, I like that. And you, the up to, you know, on the P card purchases, up to $3,000, those are purchased within the departments, or would they also have to go to Strategic Procurement Division, SPD, for those opportunities?
No, those are with the department. Keep in mind, you still have to be a registered vendor, right? Regardless of the amount of purchase, you still have to be a registered vendor. But that would be those P card purchases. It's just having that relationship with the department.
Nice. Okay, perfect. So that's one. And then the informal opportunities, are those full on RFPs as well, or is that typically when they would also ask for a few quotes?
That's those will actually go for public bid
Perfect.
as well. And so they would ask for you to submit a bid for that. One example is I like to use in this one is that we asked for a Christmas tree for December. It was around August or September of last year. Whoever could provide a Christmas tree for the mayor's ceremony that he was doing, that was an informal bid, and that was posted so people could actually bid on that. And there's a lot of different things, different area mail carrying services that will qualify as informal bids. So it's a lot that's available in that smaller threshold that businesses can take advantage of.
And all of these opportunities are in the same portal as the contracting opportunities that are above 50,000. Okay, it's all
Yes,
in one
the only
place.
one you won't see is that P card because they don't have to post that because of the amount.
Got it. Okay. Nice. Oh, so it's all in one space. That is beautiful. I love it. The next question that I have around this is, what is the, I guess, the current procurement process? And we kind of talked about that a little bit, but is the first step registering as a supplier? Like, how does that work?
Yes, the first step is registering as a supplier. And we just got a new system. So if you are already registered as a City of Houston vendor, when you go to that website, you'll have to click on a link. They'll have to send you an email for you to transfer your profile into the new system. If you've never been a vendor with us before, then you're going to click on new user and go straight into that. So that's your first thing, is to register to be a vendor. Then it's just searching for those opportunities. So you got the informal, the formal bids, as well as the RFPs. And you'll see on that same site, it'll have search for bids. You can click there and begin to look at those. And it'll have anything that's associated with that particular solicitation. So if there's any amendments to the solicitation, if they've already had the pre-bid conference, which is a must for you to attend if you're interested in a particular bid, not only for networking sake, but if there's any questions that you have about that solicitation, that is your chance to ask it to the actual buyer and the department representatives that are there. Sometimes, you may see a bid and there may be something, and maybe the buyer and whoever constructed that didn't really consider something. So if you know that something should be considered, but there's a step that's missing in order to do this project, that's your time to let them know so that they can rectify that and get that bid, that solicitation solid. But you want to always go there, especially if you are a subcontractor, because that's your opportunity to see who is potentially could be the prime for you to network and make sure that they include you as a subcontractor when they submit that bid solicitation. So it's registering to be a vendor. And when you're registering to be a vendor, it's going to ask you for your NIGP codes. If you have more than one product or service that has a different code, you want to add all of the codes that pertain to your products or services. Don't just use one. If one is just you, then that's fine. But when you are working on these solicitation, if you get the contract, you have to have the matching NIGP code. So don't limit yourself if you know that you have more than one NIGP code. And even if as your business progresses, you want to make sure you keep that profile up to date with those codes. So register to be a vendor, and then you want to search for those actual bids. And then once you find the bids of interest, you want to attend that pre-bid conference so that you can find out more information, also to network and also see who your competitors could possibly be in that instance to help you prepare your bid to submit. And then after that is just really submitting that bid. And then if you get that, then moving and performing on that, and then going back, making sure that profile is updated and going on to the next one. And so that's pretty much the process, the look at look the whole overall of the process.
So from there, you set it up and it's just wash, rinse, repeat. Same.
Yeah, right.
All right,
Absolutely.
cool. Because I'm looking at it right now, and there are opportunities up here for, a video wall from $10,000 to $50,000. Like,
Yeah.
they really, like you said, they break them down. We also have a question someone was asking, are they all physical products, or will there be some something like a videography or photography included in these prices as or in these opportunities as well?
It could be. We do have a department. HTV stands for Houston Television, and they are a very, very small department, so they can't do everything on their own with their staff, and so they do at times look for other videographers to do that. And I know a couple of companies that have actually worked with them and have a
Nice.
contract with them right now. So yes.
No, yeah. So y'all definitely check out this website. They have literally all of these opportunities on there. And then I have, I know we're getting ready to like wrap it up. So if anyone has any additional questions, definitely go ahead and drop them in the chat. But when we talk about payment, so I've been awarded the contract. How does payment work with the city of Houston? Is there like any prompt payment for small businesses? Like, how does payment work with the city of Houston?
Right. So, of course, with the P card, that's immediate, right? So we're talking about the informal, formal, and RFP contracts. So what I have to tell everybody is when you are going out for these contracts, make sure you have enough money to sustain yourself, because it could take up to 90 days before you receive payment. And especially if you're working on the larger contracts as a prime, that it has to be approved by city council before payment can be issued to you. So just make sure you have enough funds to sustain your business operations when you're taking on a contract. We don't have a prompt payment as of yet, but it is definitely something that we want to look into, because we want to make sure that our small businesses are able to get paid and sustain their business and to grow into the prime contracting role if they're not already there.
I like that. And I have some more questions. So someone said, what about transportation? Are there any opportunities for hauling?
Yep. Remember, Houston has been through some flooding issues and, Hurricane Harvey, and honestly, they're still doing work, from Harvey that happened in 2017, I think. So yes, there's definitely opportunities for transportation and hauling and dump trucks and all those things.
Love it. We have one more question. We have another question. Look, go ahead and get them in now, y'all, because we about to get ready to wrap it up. Dr. PJ got somewhere to be. The other question is, do you have to be certified to work with the city?
No, you do not have to be certified. You just have to be a registered vendor. As explained earlier, you can just go and register. And again, the registration for to be a vendor doesn't cost you any money to register, and it has a pretty quick turnaround. So come one, come all, from wherever you're at, register to be a vendor with the city. There's a lot of opportunities for you to take advantage of.
Someone asked a question around what's the website again? So the website is HoustonTX.gov/BIZ with Hugh, HOU. So biz with Hugh. I went ahead and dropped it in the chat. For the people who are watching it on Instagram, you had to go to the YouTube video. All of the links we talked about today are in that chat. And thank y'all so much for dropping in these questions as well. Someone's asking, is there a pre-bid conference for each solicitation, and are they only in person?
There is not a pre-bid conference for each. All of your formal and definitely your RFPs are going to have a pre-bid conference associated with it. Some of them are in person, but the majority of them are online.
Okay, nice.
There will be some that are in person where you have to do an actual walkthrough of the space, but most of them are online.
Got it. Okay. Someone's asking about education opportunities. Would that be with the city, or would that be with the school district, or how would that work with them?
So we do, the city does not operate the independent school districts. That's a separate, they're all separate entities on their own. We have several school districts here in Houston, so it would just be contacting that particular school district and going to their website looking for the words like vendor or procurement opportunities, and then it will follow the same process. They're all going to require you to register to be a vendor with them, and none of the school districts are certifying agencies. So when their contracts do have goals on them, City of Houston certification can fulfill that goal.
Got it. Very nice. And that's perfect. So you might as well make that first stop over there, City of Houston. Someone actually mentioned, oh, so he said, thank you so much. You answered the question about the logistics. So he said, BWT Logistics will definitely sign up to do business with the city. Thank you. So just appreciate the
Like
information.
BWT.
The other one, the questions are coming in. Okay. Like,
Okay,
let,
well,
okay.
let's answer them.
Okay. So someone said, oh, so they were asking if this video will be posted later on today so you can capture the links. Absolutely. All of the videos from the podcast are stored on the YouTube channel. You can go in, check out all of the links, get registered, all of that good stuff. Someone's asking for construction and roofing contracts, are awardees required to be licensed in Texas?
It's going to depend on the contract. So a lot of rules and regulations are going to depend on that specific contract, depending on what type of work it is. But
Got it.
all of that will be laid out in that solicitation.
Perfect. So you heard that. The next one is, are there any opportunities for cleaning agencies? So
Yes. We got to maintain all these buildings we have. I don't even know how many buildings the city of Houston has, but we're scattered all over the city. So yes, we got to have those buildings maintained and cleaned. That's a huge, huge part of what our general services department
Nice.
facilitates.
So that's perfect. That wraps up our questions right there. Is there anything else that you would like to share or parting wisdom? And then also, how can people reach out or get in contact with they're saying thank you right now, but how can people reach out or get in contact?
Sure. Another piece of wisdom I would say is a lot of people think that with the city of Houston, contract construction is just the only game in town, and it's totally not. Of course, it's going to be the majority of the contracts, but there are plenty of times where we need other things like a Christmas tree, like event planning services, all different types of things. And I tell people to always find a city employee that comes to mind, right? So that could be a fireman or a police department, a police officer, or someone you see that's working on the street, and then just kind of break them down, right? So if we look at a police officer, we break the police officer down. What is he or she wearing? They have a uniform. We're not making uniforms, right? So we have to purchase that. We're not making paper for those tickets that we don't want, right? But we have to purchase that. And the cars, we have to purchase those cars. Those cars need maintenance. We have to maintain those cars and purchase car washes, oil changes, things like that. They
Nice.
have decals that say police department and whatever else, the seals and everything. We have to purchase decals. And so you begin to break all that down, all the different equipment that a police officer needs to do his or her job. We have to purchase that. So that just gives you an idea of the amount of things that we have to purchase and the opportunity. So just find your fit in that and just be ready for it. Always have your capability statement available.
Nice.
Always network. And another thing with networking, you don't need to talk to everybody. You just need to talk to the people to get you to where you need to be. And always do your research as much as possible, again, because that's going to help you to maneuver a little bit quicker through the process. And just be serious about it and go for it and be persistent. It doesn't happen on the first time, but you just be persistent, get your name out there, let people know who you are, and be consistent in your work and how you pursue it, and it will definitely happen. So if you have any additional questions, want to reach out, bounce some ideas off of me, you can reach me at my email address is Portia, PORSCHA dot Jackson at HoustonTX.gov. And then I am always on LinkedIn, so you can feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Just send me a message, and I'm happy to help no matter where you are located.
I know y'all heard that. I'm gonna go ahead and drop her LinkedIn in the chat as well. And I will tell you, she is the type to respond. That's how we got on this call today. So definitely reach out. Thank you so much, Dr. PJ. All of those points were absolutely amazing. People were saying thank you. Someone said y'all are incredible. Thank you, Queens. Thank you very much. So I thank you. I really appreciate you coming in here and sharing this. More than likely, this is not our last conversation. So we'll probably reach back to have you on again or see what's going on. And hopefully, I'm trying to make it to this this match, this event, this Meet the Buyers event in December, as well. So.
Every December is going to happen, and just thank you for allowing me to come and just share the information. It's just been a pleasure to share the information and be here with you. And I really want to commend you for what you're doing and getting the information so that businesses have the information to succeed. And that's what it's all about. So I just love being a part of people who have a heart for people to succeed.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Everyone who is watching on YouTube or LinkedIn or Instagram, definitely go ahead and like this video, share it with other business owners that you may know that are in the area or thinking about doing business with the city or can be convinced to do business with the city. Go ahead and send it on over there. We really appreciate it. In the meantime, I'll talk to y'all soon. Next week, we'll be back with another episode. So go ahead and turn on those notification bells as well. All right. I'll see you.